Boom! It's the 10th on the Ball Soccer Podcast. This week, Giovanni and myself are joined by Mark Mayer to talk a brand new season of European soccer. Is there discontentment at Bayern Munich? More mentions of Bale, Suarez and Rooney. Will it ever end? Recording from the Londoner on Greenville Avenue. It's that time again. We're on the ball. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to the show. This is, of course, the On The Ball Soccer Podcast with me, the host, Jake Fields, producer Giovanni, and Mark Mayer's here. Mark, start of the season, are you ready? We're finally here.
Yes, I'm really excited about the beginning of the season. Am I ready? I'm ready.
Ready?
Are you united?
We'll see.
We'll talk about that in the show.
I mean, Manchester United obviously won 2-0 in the Community Shield earlier today. We'll talk about that. Folks, remember, go to our Facebook page, On The Ball Soccer Podcast, or tweet us. That's how you can get involved, at On The Ball Show. And we are here live at the Londoner in Greenville. Another week of speculation. Nothing's happened. Bale, Suarez, Rooney, Fabregas. It seems with each passing week there's more pressure to get these deals finalized for the respective clubs. Maybe are they going to happen? Or is there, I guess, pressure to get these deals done?
Well, it's actually funny what the media seems to be saying, and that is, based on what's being reported, that the managers are saying, Suarez and Rooney is not going to happen. There is not going to be a sale. They will be staying. Yesterday I read that Rodgers has demanded an apology. And
from Suarez?
Yes. And I just read that Suarez is apparently not willing to give that. That's what the media says. Yeah. What the truth is, well, we all know. We don't know. Moyes has said that Rooney's not for sale. I cannot imagine United being unwise enough to sell to potentially their greatest rival this season for the Premiership. The only one who seems to be talking about a move is Spurs, with Daniel Levy talking to Perez about how much is actually the value of Gareth Bale.
Well, so Perez came out this week and told, I think, Marca, the Spanish newspaper, no man's worth $100 million.
Yes. And Di Maria yesterday was quoted as saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm integral to the squad. Mm. So he is a player that potentially could have moved across to the Premiership and filled the role for Spurs. But you know, that's as far as pressure. I mean, I can't imagine United being dumb enough to sell to Chelsea.
Yeah.
And well, Suarez.
Do you think there'll be a domino effect? You know, if Gareth Bale signs for Real Madrid for $100 million,
there's a lot of money that flows into the market.
Exactly. Maybe they'll sell Modric to Manchester United, which allows Rooney to go to Chelsea. And you could see, you don't think before deadline day, there's going to be
Modric is not a replacement for Rooney. But not even close. Well,
isn't he a similar player to Fabregas in a way? The player that apparently Manchester United, well, we bid three
certainly,
times.
But that's not justification in my mind to sell one of the top players on the squad to the squad that we're supposed to be fighting for the top spot. Granted, City is there also with their purchases, and hopefully those guys are going. City's going to have a hard time in their first season with these new additions. A tough enough time that they will not challenge for the title that hard. But
I mean, Manuel Pellegrini came out this week and said that Manchester City have the best squad
on paper.
On paper,
them and Chelsea, yeah. But look at what Arsenal did to them yesterday.
Arsenal obviously winning 3-1 in a friendly game. That's right.
Yeah.
Quick thing with these marquee big name signings. Mm-hmm. And we'll go one by one. I mean, for example, Manchester United bid 3 times for Fabregas. Do they need Fabregas?
Well, we don't know that they bid 3 times.
Reported. Okay. Reportedly.
But did the third one go through, or was the third one just being talked about? That's the question. And it's still, I mean, there's been a lot about how quietly United used to go through this process. Mm. And Ferguson.
Why do you think it's so open now?
I think that the press was scared of Fergie. Sir Alex Ferguson was a presence you didn't with. So I think that the press feels like they have a lot more liberty to put their impressions on the news. Mm. And I think because of that, everything is so much more out in the open. I think that anything Moyes can do to demand control. Mm. I think he's less quiet than Ferguson. I think Ferguson had a lot more fire in his boiler than Moyes does.
Do you think maybe this, for lack of a better word, leakage, and this whole thing about Manchester United and Al making bids, whereas, as you rightly say, it was quieter in recent years, is because there is pressure on David Moyes to let it be known to the Manchester United fans, hey, I'm new, but I can still attract a Fabregas or a big name player, and I'm actually doing something in this transfer market. Do you think it's him lending out?
I think that's contrary to what the style of management there's been at United, and that because that's kind of self-promotion.
Hmm. Yeah, it is.
And that kind of behavior actually stems from insecurity. Hmm. And United is about consistency and security.
You don't think there's some kind of insecurity there at Manchester United that if
yes, but we
they
can't we cannot
spot?
Put it out there like that. It has to be an unspoken truth, right? I mean, if we leaked it to the press that we were going for for one of Barcelona's top players, that's something that a lower squad does, not United.
Not United?
I mean, no.
You don't think it's a firing shot to say, hey, we can still try to nab Barcelona's player?
What did you tell me in the car about United and their positioning in the Premier League history?
They've never finished outside the top three since the Premier League started in 1992.
Right. How many years outside of the last 20, in the last 20 years, how many years did United not have the title?
I think in... How many Premier? There's been 21 Premier Leagues, and Manchester United have won, I think, 14. I think 14 off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Chelsea have won it, I think, 3 times.
Okay.
Arsenal, that 3 times. There. Blackburn, once.
Yes. Yeah. My point is that we United, do not need to behave that way. That's insecurity. And I really think that the media is just all over the place because they feel like they can. Mm. They can't be locked out of the press room anymore.
Yeah, which Ferguson was very famous for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't talk about my son because I'm not going to talk to you.
If anyone doesn't get what Mark's saying, obviously Sir Alex Ferguson, one of his sons, was a football agent. And there was a BBC documentary some years ago which implicated Sir Alex Ferguson, and especially his son, for dodgy dealings,
yes.
for the lack of a better phrase this time. And obviously Ferguson, that's why for a long time he boycotted the BBC. He wouldn't do any written interviews, wouldn't do any,
right.
You know, any television interviews, nothing. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so I think everything that's in the media right now is the media. Mm. The last couple of shows that I've spoken on, I've said that I've read an article, two articles that were based on the same interview Moyes gave that were completely opposing viewpoints. One of Moyes' belief and Rooney's behavior in the club's
It's funny that you mentioned that, and I do remember you speak very well about the articles that you read, mm-hmm. and you're well informed. And it's funny, I think Kevin mentioned the other week when you were on about how you look at what Modric had said 2 years ago, and then they had taken the exact thing from yes. Gareth Bale.
Yes.
And now that same thing with Wayne Rooney, wasn't he right. unhappy and mm-hmm. you know, I can't remember the quote, disillusioned or whatever. It was yes. like yes. frustrated.
And in same the last in the last few days, it's been that Rooney's going to play for England. But yeah. he didn't play in the Rio Ferdinand's testimonial.
And didn't play, obviously, today in the Community
Shield.
And did
not play in the Community Shield because of a quote-unquote shoulder injury that was still sore.
Is that a cold shoulder?
yeah, exactly. right. Is it that? What is it? We really don't know.
It's funny that these players get injured just when they're going to be... Isn't Gareth Bale injured as well?
Exactly.
yeah, they get injured. It wasn't... Oh, no. Right. I think Suarez was injured for like a game.
But Suarez has been told to train with the reserves. Yeah. And Rooney just recently requested to train with the reserves because he had not been training with the first team because of the shoulder injury. Mm. And he was kind of being protected. He actually did some private...
That's right.
Training, but he said he wanted some more high pressure training because of the England squad.
Yeah. And
Scotland-England game.
His training was non-contact.
Yes,
he played that
exactly.
a floating thing where he went. Yeah, exactly. Quickly from Rooney and Manchester United, do Arsenal need that signing? And when I get asked a lot about, for years Arsenal have not been spending money. Want to bring something up with you. So the understanding was that they bid for Higuain at the start of the season.
Right.
Or understanding that they did. He was their first choice. Now mm-hmm. they bid for Suarez. But aren't Higuain and Suarez different kind of strikers?
Very.
So you have to wonder, does that mean that Arsene Wenger has found two ways to play or has figured out two different formations and tactics? Or is he just buying the player for the sake of it?
I can't imagine. The guy is too smart for that. I mean, he's known as the professor.
But does he really want... Do you think he really wants...
I think that he looked at the squad that he's got. I mean, I did not watch City Arsenal, but the articles I read about it were Theo Walcott and Giroud connecting. And Jack Wilshere coming through the center, and we've known that Jack Wilshere is a fantastic player, very young, but a fantastic player.
When he's on the pitch, he's a fantastic player.
Yes. And hopefully he's not going to be either injured or overly dependent on, which I think is kind of the case with too many young English talents, over dependence on them and escalating them too soon. So maybe I mean Higuain, I think did not it was really unfortunate. His Real Madrid career I think was really unfortunate because he did not get the play because he was behind
Benzema all the time.
And that was really unfortunate, but that's nothing to take away from him because he's certainly a great player. He would have been a kind of hold up player that Arsenal hasn't had since probably Henri. I mean, I can't think of anybody that was able to hold the ball for Arsenal the way that Higuain could to allow the support to come to him. So I can certainly understand them wanting to go to that because they've got the players to put the ball to him. Suarez is a completely different player. He's a moving animal that will find the tiniest crevice and put the ball in. So I think that Arsenal would love to have his hunger because they've not had his hunger, that kind of hunger. I think Jack Wilshere is the closest thing to having that hunger, but he's still very young. He's got a great football brain. He's got great skill, technical ability, but they're always looking for that pass rather than the pass and goal.
Is Suarez going to... For argument's sake, Arsenal signed Luis Suarez. Is that really going to be the difference between last year's campaign and this year's campaign, or do they need more than Luis Suarez?
Well, I read this morning that they are going to or they have put an order for a Bayern defender, Luis Gustavo.
Okay.
And we talked about that a couple of shows ago about the players coming in for Bayern and who was going to be displaced. Mm. And it looks like Gustavo is going to be displaced, and he would shore up the back line for Arsenal. So if you've got the strength in the midfield, in the defense, and someone like Suarez that you can either play the ball to the out, he plays anywhere. He's very much like Rooney in that. He's able to play anywhere. He can take the ball from the outside in. He can find the crevices. He can be in front of the goal. He can be a poacher. So Suarez is unfortunately one of those players that you can throw in and he'll make a difference. He will make a difference. And that hunger and goal in front of the goal is really what Arsenal have lost the last decade. I mean, they have not had that up front, that guy that's going to find the net. I mean, think back to the Invincibles, Bergkamp and Henri up there. There was so much.
But my problem with Arsenal is that not only that they lacked a really good striker, and I would actually argue different conversation, a goalkeeper for a long time, because I think I think Jens Lehmann was absolute bollocks.
Yes.
But they have no real midfield, creative influence. Okay, mm-hmm. Jack Wilshere, but here's a guy that's... I don't even think he's played 20 games in 2 years. I mean, he's very injury prone.
Yes, and that's really unfortunate.
Theo Walcott is...
Not...
Depends which which direction the wind is blowing, yep. Whether he plays well or not. Oxlade-Chamberlain doesn't really get, I don't think, a fair crack at the whip. I'd be playing him a lot more, maybe not all the time, but I'd be playing him a lot more than they actually do.
And that's that youth setup that... bringing them up too soon. I think he needs time. He is a great, great player.
Mm. But my point is, I don't think Suarez is going to make the difference. I think Arsenal will certainly be more dangerous up front. But I don't think it's going to make a difference. I still think they'd finish fourth. I think that...
How many players does it take to mark Suarez? At least two. But imagine Suarez coming down the center for Arsenal against us at home.
I don't think their midfield's strong enough. You could have the greatest striker in the world, but if he doesn't have the ball...
Okay, Suarez is going to be marked by probably Vidic and Carrick. Vidic, Carrick, Ferdinand, Carrick, Smalling, Evans.
Okay, should I tell you why I'm going to win this argument?
All he has to do... is get those players to come to him, to mark him. Mm. And if he doesn't find a way to sneak through, he plays that ball back to the top. And there is Wilshere, there is Walcott coming in. Walcott is coming in from the sides. I mean, there's too much action for Arsenal around Suarez for him to not put the ball in the net.
Should I tell you why it won't make that big a difference?
Tell me.
They'll score more goals, blah, blah, blah. Because 2 years ago they had a better player than Suarez up front, and it didn't make a difference in their league position. They had Robin van Persie. So unless they get a really good midfielder, I can't see them doing. They'll score more goals than last season. They'll be more dangerous, but they'll still finish third, fourth, or fifth. They're not going to push for a top two. They're not going to challenge for the title. They didn't do it with van Persie. They're not going to do it with Luis Suarez. It's just my opinion. From talking with Arsenal, quickly to end the segment, if they were not to get Luis Gustavo, who they've been linked with, mm-hmm. Luis Suarez, could we see a situation, which I'm sure Arsenal fans lie awake thinking about at night, where it's 2 days before the transfer window ends, and they pull a 2 years ago where they signed Mertesacker and Andre Santos and all these, decent players, but really very mediocre in terms of a title challenge. Yep. Do you think that might happen again?
The guys that I know that are Arsenal supporters talk about Arsenal and then end it with a sigh. So I can't put it past them to try and find something, someone that will make a difference. But I really hope for those guys, the Arsenal supporters, that they actually do spend that money that the corporate entity has been making over the last decade. Spend it. Put some money down and blow that wad. Buy somebody.
Talking about blowing their wad, Real Madrid, Gareth Bale. Again, I mean, they're almost repetitive, but still hasn't signed between 85 and 100 million. One issue is surely, if we're going to talk obviously about Gareth Bale quite extensively, surely if he was to sign tomorrow for Tottenham Hotspurs, 100 million cash, surely when Tottenham go and buy replacements, they're going to transfer fees that are going to be quoted by the selling club. Are going to be way higher. I mean, isn't that the problem? It's well and good having 100 million.
Right.
But then all these other, we've seen with, as soon as Manchester City or PSG get this huge influx of money.
Monaco, yeah.
Suddenly a player that was quoted as 10 million is now 20 million. And that's the problem they're facing.
I think it depends on the depth of your bench, the depth of the squad. We got 80. And who did we buy after that? We were quiet. We were quiet.
You're talking about obviously Manchester United and Ronaldo signing for 80 million.
So Ferguson was not about to be bullied into spending more than he wanted to, and what he recognized the value of the player. So right now we're talking about putting in another bid for Baines. I think that from watching this morning, watching the Wigan United season opening match, watching Ever in the back, he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good. So unless he's planning on going, and I can't imagine the vice captain leaving United.
Well, no, there was talk earlier in the season he might go back to Monaco, obviously, who we signed him from. But they bought Eric Abidal.
Right.
Which is funny, we're not going to talk about it on the pod this week. I saw the Monaco Porto game yesterday. Falcao scored. They won 2-0.
Yes, he scored.
To kickstart their title challenge of Ligue 1. Yeah, Falcao scored. Mm-hmm. Abidal did play. Former Liverpool director of football, Damien Comerley, came out this week, told the BBC that the reason why these transfer fees, and we can almost, 85 to 100 million for Bale, 55 million for Cavani, so on and so forth.
Right.
That the reason why these high transfer fees is because there's a shortage of talent in the world right now, of top talent. Do you think that's true? I mean, it seems kind of illogical that there's not many great players around. But I was thinking about it when I heard the comments. And really, if you think about it, you almost have super clubs emerging where you have Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, Bayern, Real Madrid, Barca, PSG now. But then they have a squad of, 25 players who are pretty top class, and they don't sell to each other.
Right.
So then you have, I don't know, just huge transfer fees for players, I suppose.
Well, the beginning step of it is someone with money deciding they're going to step into football ownership and looking for a good deal. All those guys that have their money got their money by fighting for it, some way or another. So looking for a good deal, a good purchase, something that they can put their money into is how it's done. And the super clubs is exactly it. You're absolutely right. It is a group of super clubs that own the majority of the players. France 3 years ago was below Italy in their standing as far as domestic league. It's been Spain and England for at least 4 years. Before that, Italy was up there at the top.
In the 90s,
now,
yeah, for sure.
Now it's Germany that is very quietly stepping in into the top three. And with what they're doing with their fans, the low ticket pricing, the balanced financially responsible club management, I think that they're going to be very easily in the top two, displacing Spain, because all Spain has is Barcelona and Madrid. And when the legislation goes through about member ownership, which I think there are four clubs in Spain that are member owned, Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico, and maybe Getafe. I want to say Getafe or Levante. I can't remember what the fourth one is.
I believe it's I think Getafe were bought by a Middle Eastern consortium.
Well, they're all member owned. That member ownership basically implies that it's a non-profit, like a credit union. Well, we know that Barcelona and Real Madrid are not credit unions. Those guys are making plenty of cash. So,
yeah.
Getting state sponsorship, these four teams get state sponsorship from taxpayers. So we'll have to see what happens with the changing of that regulation, which disallows that.
Well,
so once that happens, that I think Spain will be displaced. But these super clubs is exactly it. They own it's like the MLS owns the player contracts, not the individual teams.
Yeah.
So I think that what's going to happen is that every club in every domestic league is a feeder club for these super clubs. And that's where the valuation comes in, because City has 90 million?
But I mean, but, go back to Gareth Bale in a second. But the problem with these big super clubs is, like I said, they have 25 to 30 players. Mm-hmm. But then you have players. I mean, there's the young kid, well, youngish kid, Scott Sinclair, now at Manchester City.
Looking at getting sold.
And how many teams has he bloody played for in the last year? He's played at Chelsea, hasn't he? He's played at Man City. Well, not played. Sat on the bench.
Exactly.
But here's a guy who, Swansea. He left a great Swansea team under Brendan Rodgers. Goes to Man City to play it in the reserves.
That's the dollar sign. I mean, you look at how these guys grow up. They learn to play in the street when they're kids, and they want their family wants them to do well. They have responsibility to their family, so they sign a contract. They want to take care of the people that they love, and they want to do what they love. So when someone comes along like City, who at that point were spending tons of money, and they offer him a contract, and even though he knows that all he can do is fight for a place on the squad, but he's going to get this paycheck no matter what, I think it's hard to say no. I mean, you have to have a really strong character to say no. And I think
you're going to be a millionaire regardless when you're making 30 grand a week as opposed to 50. I mean, it's still how much money does one person need? I would have thought if I was him, I'd rather go somewhere and play than
certainly. And maybe he's thinking that a manager like Roberto Mancini can actually offer him something to increase his ability. And maybe he knows that he's going to be sold in 3 years because he's not going to get on the squad. But until that point, he can train under a manager that's awesome, that has World Cup history, Champions League history. He can make some money and take care of the people that he loves. He can pay off his parents' house. He can buy them a place in Brighton. I mean, he can take him to Spain. Imagine having money to take your mother to do something that she's always wanted to do. So there's a lot that goes on, and he was young when he left. Imagine being 21 and being able to say to your mother, you know what, I want to do this for you and your mom and dad. I want to do this for you guys.
I understand that, but he would have been able to do that anyway if he'd stayed at Swansea. He'd probably be in the
20,000.
He would be in the England the England national team squad right now if he had stayed at Swansea, and now he's nowhere near it. He was probably making 30 grand before, now he's making 50, but he never plays.
Mm-hmm.
He could have done, you know, bought his mother the greatest house when he's making 30 grand a week. I don't think these players should move for their careers and not think about the short term. You know, when Scott Sinclair leaves Manchester City in prediction 2 years' time, he's not going to make... This is the most he's ever going to make in his entire career, probably right now. he's not going to get 50 grand from anywhere else. Whereas if he had stayed at Swansea, who knows what would have happened to him?
Well, he's still young. He's still young. We don't know how his development is going to go on, but or is going to progress. But you know, he's under Pellegrini now, and Pellegrini is known as a great tactician. Unfortunately, he's not going to find his way into the squad. But when he goes to another squad, he'll have that experience that he can take with him, and maybe he won't be like a Sean Wright Phillips.
Yeah,
I mean
that's another guy that left.
Wonderful player, but knocked on the door a lot. Gets past players, but isn't able to.
Well, he was a fantastic player, and here's a guy. Where was his? I think he went to Chelsea for the money.
Yeah,
hardly ever played. Mm. You know, should have got. Well, he actually should have gone to Arsenal, is where he should have gone way back when. Mm-hmm. I think he's 31 now.
Yeah.
Time going by. Back to Gareth Bale. Have to ask you this. Yeah, 100 million. Gareth Bale, worth it? Not worth it.
You can do a
long answer. You can do a short answer.
He's got another. He is nowhere near Ronaldo.
I can feel a rant coming on by myself. I'm going to hold off and you talk right now.
I think he has the potential to be a really good player. I think that he needs to play a lot. I think that anyone willing to pay that much for a player, it's a fool and his money. That's how I feel about it. Ronaldo was worth it.
Hmm.
Ronaldo is worth it. Bale has a ways to go. I hope Levy can get the money that he wants for him. I would really hope, and I said this earlier, that he stays. I hope he stays at Spurs for another season or two.
Yeah.
Sign a bigger contract, pay him a little bit more money, make a deal with him on the side, give us two seasons, we'll sell you, they'll still want you. Because yeah. He's one of those players that will be wanted. And you'll be able to go to Madrid.
I agree. I don't think he's going to stay there. But I don't think Gareth Bale's worth 100 million.
Right.
He's had one season in the Champions League, I'm going to play both sides. One season in the Champions League is the con. The pro is, well, he taxi for Maicon was what all the fans mm-hmm. were singing when he burst down right. that left side, took Maicon yep. out of the game, scored, I think it was 3 goals against Inter. He scored 20 goals in the Premier League one season, which was last season, right? That's it. He hasn't won the chip. You make a good comparison with Ronaldo, and many people do, because obviously Ronaldo is similar type of player, and he's in that
yes.
ballpark price.
Mm-hmm.
Bale hasn't won the Champions League. Ronaldo had been in 2 finals, 1-1, obviously against Chelsea,
yes.
and lost the other against Barca.
Right.
Hasn't come close to what Ronaldo had achieved at this, you know, at the same time period. Right. The only reason why Gareth Bale is worth 100 million is because we talked about the super clubs that have all these players. Gareth Bale is the best player that they can get right now
mm-hmm.
to make a statement. Because who do Barcelona have? They now have Messi and Neymar. So Real Madrid need Ronaldo and Bale. And these transfer fees, right? I get in because what will happen is we think the money might trickle down, but
it's not because it's not. 20 million. I mean the last the last thing I remember reading about what the payments actually were, and the deal is obviously not published, so we don't know, but what was reported was that it would be a $20 million payment up front, 20 million cash, plus payments of 20 million a year, which, that's 5 years.
I wouldn't take that deal. But the problem is when you have Gareth Bale, he's obviously, like I say, the best player Real Madrid can get right now, right? But then all the other transfers get completely distorted.
Mm-hmm.
Soldado completed his move to Spurs and actually scored the other day in the friendly. Mm-hmm. 26 million.
Right.
Manchester United bought Robin van Persie for 23 last summer. Mm-hmm. Who's a better player?
Exactly.
Right. Soldado hasn't achieved anything.
That's the perception of somebody holding money.
Mm. Negredo signed for City. He's not worth 23 million.
Well,
is he worth as much as Van Persie? No, not
City,
at all.
City, no.
You know,
City. The bigger somebody's purse, the more someone can ask.
That's definitely true. onto quick talk about. I mean, we did mention Wayne Rooney earlier. Is it unfair to criticize him because he wants to move to Chelsea, or reportedly wants to move to Chelsea to play? Is it unfair for Manchester United fans to maybe jeer him or boo him if really he's not going to Chelsea for the money? He could sit on the bench for Man U for the rest of his career and get the money. He wants to go there to play, to be the main man. So is it unfair if he was to show up and get booed?
Is it unfair? The guy gets paid to hang out in front of people, and it's anyone's right that goes to see him to express it, how they feel. So, in my mind, there's not a right or wrong. Is it right for people to boo him if they feel that way? Yeah, I think that. It's Bobby Charlton was quoted as saying that Rooney should stay, overtake Bobby Charlton's gold record, and become a legend at the club. I think that if Rooney wants to play with the players that are at Chelsea, that's great. And then he should do that if that's what he wants, because he's not going for the money. The guy is making money, so it's not going for the money. I think that staying and fighting for your place and eventually becoming a legend is worthy of staying. I mean, I think
you're right, and you kind of alluded to it. I mean, it shows a strength of character if he
was to
cut and run. And obviously, I mentioned it on the pod before, that the whole irony is that, 3 years ago when he wanted that transfer, he put in a transfer request, it's because Manchester United wouldn't sign any big players.
Right.
They go out and buy Van Persie, and now, you know.
Yeah.
Now he wants to leave.
But we don't know. We don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the big thing. I really hoped that he would play in the testimonial. And show a little bit. Show the fans a little bit. I don't know. I mean, Beckenbauer played with a dislocated shoulder in a World Cup. I know this isn't a World Cup, but I'm wondering how bad a sore shoulder is if you can't play. I mean, what is it? Is it the shoulder? Is it? So anyway, how bad is it? Where he can actually play? And he is a fighter. He comes from a boxing background. He's used to getting slugged. That's what I love about him.
Brought up in the rough streets of Merseyside, Liverpool.
Yeah. So he is a fighter. I would love to see him come out and respond with his heart against anyone that questions him. Just like he came out after the whole City thing. He came out and he showed us.
Or
that's what I want.
Even when he was in the European Championships, when he got sent off, Ronaldo did the wink to the side.
Yes, yes.
And really came back and proved everyone.
Right.
You know, and don't forget, in the period between Ronaldo leaving and Van Persie coming, Rooney was, wasn't it the run he made was 15 goals in a row and all were with his head.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he went on that and then got injured against Bayern.
Right.
Did he apparently break his ankle? And 2 weeks later, he played again. Like, incredible.
Well, what was the match where that huge, like, 6-inch gash in his thigh?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
I mean, he's been through a lot. We will not be able to replace him. And we're not the kind of club that's going to pay $80 million for someone.
I think it speaks volumes that you and I have been quite critical sometimes of Wayne Rooney, and yet we still face the fact that he is an irreplaceable player. I mean, we might be able to get someone, whether it's Fabregas, I don't know, different positions, but someone of genuine quality. Mm-hmm. But Wayne Rooney is still special.
Yes.
Still, you know, 6 years ago when people talked about Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi, they put Wayne Rooney mm-hmm. there. And, you know, as much as those two guys have completely outshone him, he's still special.
Yes. And Thierry Henry got a statue.
Yeah, outside the Emirates, that's right.
Yes. He just got that last year.
Yeah.
Rooney has the potential to stand alongside the greatest players, or several of the greatest players of this game. I mean, he has that potential. So,
whether it's at Manchester United, he finally fulfills or completes that potential.
Yeah.
Or at Chelsea, we won't know. But we're going to take a 5-minute break. That's enough transfer talk. When we come back, we're going to talk about the brand new season, what we're looking forward to most, and we'll have a bit of Bundesliga. And we're back here at the Londoner on Greenville Avenue. It's on the ball. Quick shout out to the owner of the Londoner, Barry, a.k.a. Baz, for coming to talk to us while we were setting up the show.
Funny, funny man. Not a good player. Not a good club supporter, because he follows the... I'm sorry, who did he say?
Some
it's a Russian team.
Some team in West London.
Zenit?
That play in blue.
No.
Zenit? No.
Dinam...
Chelsky.
Oh, Chelsky, that's right.
Yes. and a shout out to, obviously, Jay, who brings us our refreshments.
Wonderful, wonderful. Brilliant. Jay. Yes.
From that, obviously, I have to mention it. Since the last pod 2 weeks ago, the sudden and obviously very sad passing away of Christian Benitez, the Ecuadorian striker, did wonders at Club America in Mexico. Played in England for a while at Birmingham. Didn't quite succeed, but he always said in interviews that he enjoyed his time there and was sad that he had to leave. Any thoughts, Mark? I mean, we had the big thing with Mark Vivian Foe, the Cameroonian, a few years ago. I mean, it's very sad.
It's I tell you what, the every league needs to have, in every stadium that they play in, needs to have not only the medical personnel to deal with any cardio issues, rather than physical issues where a physio is brought on, but cardiac issues, they need to have the machine in place, because it's in the news more and more and more. Even youth players are having heart attacks, or their body is just not capable. Something has to be done. We have to protect the player. So,
well, who was the player at Bolton a few years ago? Mwamba?
Yeah.
Obviously collapsed on the field in the Arsenal Bolton game.
Yeah.
Thank God the emergency services were there and were able to save his life, although his career is over. Thierry Henry, when he was at Arsenal, tells a story how he collapsed on the field and was swallowing his tongue. And there's a famous picture of the referee holding Thierry Henry's tongue as he's lying on his back. I mean, it's very sad, like, when these issues happen, and it's been avoided in the past. But, I mean, Christian Benitez, he was a young guy. How old? I think he was 27.
It's too crazy. Young. Too young in any case. Way, way too young. I mean, there's a... The humanity that is expressed in football in our game, I think, is wonderful. I mean, this past season, when the Liverpool disaster was what I saw when United brought out the roses, when Ferguson brought out the roses, Americans really don't have anything like that, and it's unfortunate that we are not able to really touch that emotional aspect. But It was the coming together. I mean, Liverpool and United have been at each other's throats for how many decades, and they can come through something the rivalry to honor their people.
Yeah,
I mean it's wonderful. The humanity that's involved is wonderful. So, I'm touched by it because the humanity transcends football. That's what I'm saying. And every player is able to follow that because they believe that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's I think you made a fantastic point. You know, there's obviously hugely tragic when something happens to a player, whether it's Mark Vivian Foe or Christian Benitez. But then from that, you see the beauty in our game.
Petrov, Stylian Petrov, when he was diagnosed, I want to say...
With leukemia.
Leukemia, yeah. The touching response of the fans and the club to really honor the man was so wonderful. When I mean, you have so much pettiness. I mean, we joked last week or the last time we were together about John Terry. other players having to beware of John Terry's Lothario image.
Yeah.
But you have that, and you have Eric Abidal. Unfortunately, he was released by Barcelona, but...
Liver transplant.
Yes, but the fight, Barcelona staying behind their man and keeping him on the club while he went through this. The Barcelona and... Tito Villanova's cancer treatments, his throat cancer. I mean, there's such an embrace of football fans and clubs for remaining human and embracing that and going beyond the pettiness, the superficiality of what they do for a living.
That's
a great thing.
You make a fantastic point, and you know I can. Just thinking about it now, as you were talking, you know, football fans and the whole, soccer fans and the whole soccer community is almost like a fraternity of people.
Yes.
That, you know, you can argue. It can be like a brotherhood. That everyone argues. You have support your team. You know, bash the other team. But when something of huge magnitude actually happens,
yes,
everyone gets together and they pay mutual respect. You see that a lot with the Munich Air disaster, obviously, at Manchester United. And that is a beautiful thing about our sport, and it's weird you mentioned about in America. Maybe in American sports they haven't quite.
I don't know if there is anything like that. I mean, being in this fraternity, I can say, I mean, one of the legendary stories about the sport is that Christmas night. In World War One.
Oh, yeah, it's a great story, yeah.
Somehow a ball appeared, and World War One is known for trench warfare. English and Germans came out of the trenches on Christmas and started a game. There's a story about a Polish prisoner of war camp where the Germans played the prisoners of war. And a movie was made from it. And there's that, what's the Brazilian legend's name?
Pelé.
Pelé?
I mean, okay.
In my German pronunciation, it's Pelé.
In the American pronunciation, it's Pelé.
Pelé.
It's Pelé. It's Pelé.
Okay, so...
By the way, sorry, you mentioned the World War II incident.
The World War One.
World War One. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Fantastic thing. There's actually the movie about it. I recommend people to check it out.
What is it?
Oh, I don't want to ban French. Gio, say something. Pronounce this for me.
No way.
It's basically Merry Christmas in French. Obviously, oh, okay. Noel
Excellent.
Is Christmas.
Okay, perfect.
And it's, 2005 film, and they show this exact incident that on Christmas. Yeah, they...
Okay, brilliant. Another example. Lebanese Palestinians and Israelis coming together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there's so many examples of humanity stepping beyond superficial restrictions or boundaries.
Yeah. And in the football world, of course, in the soccer world.
So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that this sport enables. And the thing about our game, I can't tell you how many times I've gone onto a field and kicked around with guys that I could not communicate with in any way other than them knowing where I was going to be or where me knowing where they were going to be and putting the ball there. There's something that happens. It's like throwing a frisbee. It doesn't matter if you speak the same language anything.
Well, professional soccer is the universal language of the world.
Yes, exactly.
No.
Yeah. And that's coming back to the death of Benitez. It's unfortunate, but the humanity is expressed. And Valencia did that when he scored the only goal of the testimonial match for Manchester United. He showed honor to his squad mate and friend and dedicated the goal to him by patting on his shoulder, which I'm assuming had a tattoo.
That's right. Valencia missed the trip to at the AIK friendly that we played in Scandinavia. He missed it because he went for the funeral of Benitez. Quick run to Bundesliga we'll talk about before we get onto our Premier League preview. Bundesliga has already started. Pep Guardiola gets a win for Bayern Munich. Borussia Dortmund also win. There was a few rumblings in the German media that all wasn't well at Bayern because Pep Guardiola came in and said, I'm not going to change very much. We won the treble. I'm not going to sell anyone. I'm not going to change the tactics, blah, 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 blah. And then the whole of preseason, now they did win, I believe, 12 out of 13 games in preseason where they battered teams. But he dropped people like Schweinsteiger and Luis Gustavo, and obviously Schweinsteiger's been linked to Manchester United.
Which I would love.
Which, yeah, we both would love, although he's 29. And Gustavo has obviously been linked with Arsenal.
Yeah.
And I think he also dropped Javi Martinez, who played in that centre role with Schweinsteiger in the trial. But he's come in and he's changed those established, really cool players that won them the treble. He bought, obviously, Mario Götze. And then
Thiago Alcantara.
Yeah, Thiago Alcantara. But then
fantastic player.
Fantastic player, but okay, they sold Gomez, so they don't really have a backup for Mandzukic. Although they could play Müller maybe up front. But you would have thought Bayern have more problems defensively because Daniel van Buyten sometimes plays or is on the bench, and he's horrible, as Manchester City fans will tell you in his time in England. You would have thought they'd buy defensive solutions. But here they're buying attacking midfielders like Thiago and Götze, whilst also dropping the established stars. Is this what Bayern need? A wake up call, or is it?
Well,
stirring the pot.
The tactical placement of the players what they are going to. What I've read is a 4-1-4-1. So. I thought Javi Martinez was amazing for them. He's young, he's fast. He not only can get the ball, but he can put it where it needs to be, and he will be where the ball will be. The vision this guy has, he's young. Yeah. He's young.
I think he's only 25 or 24. Fantastic.
Yes. So I'd love it if he gets rid of Schweinsteiger.
You'd love it because he'd be playing in the red of Manchester United.
Yes, he would. He looks good in red. He looks good in red. Looks good in white. And those are our colors, baby. So he would give us a lot. But Pep, I think, is... I just read an article earlier about Arjen Robben giving an interview and telling the Bayern fans to give Pep Guardiola some time, that they will improve in this season. They will only improve once they acclimate to his tactics, the overall strategy.
Can you improve on the treble? I mean, if people don't know, obviously Bayern won the German Cup.
You do
German
it again
Cup.
And you go for five.
That's right. Go for the five. Go for the World Club Cup, the European Super Cup, Champions League, the league. Yes. All of it.
So that's his next step. But the way that they do it is going to be his legacy this season. Holy cow. The style that he would bring, what they already have, and adding to it. I mean, they won the match against Gladbach in the first 16 minutes. They had a left fullback, David Alaba, a young fullback, take the penalty in the 60th minute for to make the third goal. It's absurd. Ian Robben, Mandzukic.
Well, Frank Ribery's in the top three behind Messi and Ronaldo for the European Player of the Year.
So Bayern looks hot. I think that it's frightening. It's frightening how good they look.
I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here, and I might have mentioned this on the Ball Soccer podcast before, but I mean Guardiola. For me, personally, I think he has got to be the most overrated manager in the world right now. And I'll tell you why. Because when he took over Barcelona, he took over the team that had won the European Championship, the Champions League, in 2006. Okay, they had Ronaldinho and Ibrahimovic, a young Messi. They still had Xavi and Iniesta. And he might have got rid of... Ibrahimovic. Oh, no, he brought in Ibrahimovic, and gave back Eto'o, got rid of Ronaldinho. But look, he took over, they had just won the Champions League. He took over a team that had Messi, Iniesta, Xavi coming to their peaks. And he wins everything, right? Now he's going to Bayern Munich, the best team in the world right now, who have just won the treble. If he wins stuff at Bayern Munich, for me, it doesn't prove shit. I mean, Ferguson didn't win anything at Manchester United for, 7 years? He had to build his team over time. Even Wenger, who did bring some somewhat immediate success at Arsenal, has had to build. Even Mr. I Leave After 3 Years, Jose Mourinho, had to build something at Porto. Mm-hmm. You know, and even at Chelsea, we saw when he had Robin and Joe Cole, and he would Damien Duff, he would alternate it. He had to build something. Pep Guardiola didn't have to build shit. He was given the best players in the world to play with. I think me and you could manage Bayern Munich to win the Bundesliga. You know, I think it's absolute bullshit. I honestly think he's got to be the most... He has no credit for me. No, basically, the only credit I give him is for not fucking it up.
Do you realize how hard that is? To not fuck it up?
I don't think it's that difficult.
Okay, look. Barcelona.
I'm sorry.
Barcelona's real success started when they brought Johan Cruyff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but we. Okay, yeah.
They brought him.
History lesson here for everybody.
He brought a style of soccer that was foreign to them. He brought the Ajax youth system style of raising kids and putting them in the first team.
Yeah.
He brought that to them.
And the total football comp
thing. Yes. Yeah. Frank Rijkaard came along having that influence and having played with him and worked with him and took that over. Cruyff went into directorship of the club and Rijkaard went to management.
But started before that with Louis van Gaal was the coach before. He had another Dutch coach. But yeah.
But... Guardiola, having played in it, I think adapted. I think that it would have been... I don't know how easy it is to fuck something up like that. But I can tell you that there's a lot that could have gone on that didn't. And if it was just a right place, right time thing, then somewhere along the way, he's got to have credit for not screwing up the right place, right time thing. I mean, how many years have we sat in that pub? I mean, I came to Dallas in 06, and it was shortly after that that you and I started hanging out at Trinity at the same time when we'd see each other. And
yeah.
So how many years was Barcelona the team to beat? I mean, I remember Barcelona the first time that we were in the final with them, and I was I thought we could beat them. I was thinking champions.
Well,
and it didn't happen.
Up until December, Barcelona are unbeaten in the league.
Yes.
Which was a record. Who was their coach? It was Tito Villanova before he went away and obviously had to have treatment for his cancer. Are you telling me Tito Villanova is the greatest manager? Come on. I think anybody could manage those teams. That for me. You know, if Tito Villanova had stayed healthy, and obviously we wish he had, obviously.
Yes.
And had won everything with Barcelona. You telling me that would make Tito Villanova like this grand manager? I mean, come on. At some point, okay, sometimes you have to manage egos, but these yes. Barcelona players have been playing together for years and years, since they were like 11.
Yes, exactly.
They're best mates. I yes. mean,
well, not, at that yes. point, at that point, you're not managing players anymore. You're allowing them to play.
I mean, look, when Guardiola was playing defensive midfielder for Barcelona in the mid to late 90s, mm-hmm. who was scrubbing his boots? Xavi and Iniesta.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew each other for a long time. I quickly away from my Guardiola rant. Dortmund win as well.
Yes.
It's just
holy cow. Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be a Dortmund Bayern fight off.
Well,
it's great to see
Leverkusen, yeah. Hamburg,
Schalke even.
Yep, Schalke. I mean, they all have potential. They all have potential.
Schalke obviously kept Drexler, Julian mm-hmm. Drexler. He's a good young German player. Can't see any. I mean, it's great to see Lewandowski playing so well, even though he's signed a pre-contract right. with Bayern to join next year.
Has he signed it?
He has, I believe, yeah.
See, that's the rumor.
You had a hit happening.
Otmar Hitzfeld came out and said, Bayern don't need Lewandowski.
They don't need him?
We don't.
He's better than Mandzukic. Yes. I'd have Lewandowski in Manchester United's team. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Bayern going to win the league in Bundesliga again? Can't see it past them.
It's hard to see them losing. I mean, when you have talent as deep as they do. I mean, Shaqiri, we talked about him.
Yeah, he hardly plays.
Yeah.
Shaqiri.
And he is a spark plug. So fun to watch. So fun to watch. And he's their second or even third midfielder. So.
Yeah.
Well, even fourth now. So it's frightening how good they look. But Borussia had a resounding win and their new signing, Adebayang.
Adebayang. We're going to go for that.
Not Adebayor.
Yeah, not Adebayor. He's definitely better than him.
Oh, yeah.
But one of very few players.
Hat-trick.
Hat-trick yep. in Bundesliga history on his debut.
Right. So that's exciting for them. And Mkhitaryan. They bought him, so it's exciting. I think Borussia is the truest challenger. No matter how much Hamburg embraces Van der Vaart, I think that they are not as solid as either Borussia or Bayern.
Quick prediction: this season's Champions League. Obviously, we're going to have extensive coverage as the weeks go on. Quick prediction: Bayern Munich. Predicting them to win the Bundesliga, how far in the Champions League will they go?
At least the semis.
Semis?
Yeah.
Borussia Dortmund?
Pretty close to the same. I mean, I haven't seen them play, but if they play like they played last season and the season before, such good, smart football.
And still they lose their best players every summer, but they're...
Right. They survive.
They survive.
My big question is the health of Xavi for Barcelona.
Oh, okay. But yeah.
The transition that's going to have to take place very quickly and very easily in the next season, depending on his health, will affect Barcelona, because he more than anybody influenced their movement forward.
Yeah.
Iniesta and Fabregas are not a Xavi replacement. Iniesta, I think, and Fabregas are each other's replacement, but not Xavi. Mm. So we'll see what happens with Barcelona.
Especially because one player, Fabregas, obviously came out this week, press conference, said he's not leaving. But Javier Mascherano came out and said, well, if Barca don't want me, I'll leave.
Right.
I would have Mascherano in any team. I think he's a quality player. Premier League, Community Shield. Obviously, this is going to be released on Tuesday, if you're listening on Tuesday. Sunday, Community Shield, Manchester United win. Robin van Persie's back, 2 goals. But not just about Manchester United. What are you excited about? Before we get on our predictions. By the way, I just made this up. I thought about it previous weeks. We're going to have a fantasy. If you go to thepremierleague.com or fantasy.premierleague.com, you can sign up and do a fantasy team. And we will have a league. We'll all do it. Even producer Gio is going to do it.
Well, I'm interested. Yes. Can I just have a Manchester United squad, or do I have to pick the players?
I don't know that.
Fantasy.premierleague.com.
Me, Mark, Brad, Kevin, West, and Gio will each have a team. It's
I'm going to laugh if I win.
If people don't know about the format, unless it's changed since last season, I did it last season. You obviously get a bit of money. You can only have a maximum of 3 players from a given team. And obviously, if I wanted Robin van Persie, well, Gio could have Robin van Persie. There's none of this
one player
rule. We'll do a league. People can join it if they want. And we'll see if the listeners can beat the pundits. But back onto Premier League, what are you excited about this season? Not just with Manchester United and the big teams, but what are you most looking forward to next weekend?
Honestly, I am looking forward to watching Chelsea play. I really hope that they get someone up front that will challenge Torres.
They have Demba Ba, forgotten man. Lukaku,
yes. Yeah. And they were run over and through by Madrid in the Guinness International Championship.
Right.
So it's the play in Hazard is wonderful. He is wonderful. Oscar, fantastic. Those two guys are amazing.
It would be good to see the progression since last season. Now they're a year older and a year together.
Yes.
With probably the greatest manager in the world now that Ferguson has retired, in Jose Mourinho.
They played Ramirez with the two of them in the mid. They didn't play Mata, and I was saddened by that. But Mata with those two on the sides after some time. Give Lukaku a little bit of time. Next season, that kid is going to be hot. He was crazy with West Brom last season. So I'm excited about Chelsea. I'm curious to see what will develop with Liverpool. I'm hoping that they come up, that they were eighth last season. I really hope that they come back up. They belong on top. Rodgers is a smart man. He's young. And hopefully Liverpool, the Henrys, will give him the time that he needs to create something, because he's a smart manager. City, Pellegrini.
the best squad in the Premier League.
Yes. I am curious to see how he plays them. I hope that they get rid of a couple of players. I hope Kolarov leaves, because he is one of those players that you cannot really predict because he's a defender, but he plays a great wing.
He's like a poor man's Dani Alves.
Yes. Yeah.
But great, fantastic striker of the ball. Great free kicks.
Awesome left kick.
Well, there's talk Gareth Barry will leave.
Yes. Yeah. Scott Sinclair.
Bloody Christ. It's not going to Scott Sinclair. Christ, what an idiot he is. Go ahead.
I'm excited about those guys. I'm curious to see what Michael Laudrup is going to do with Swansea. He brought in Wilfred Boning, a wonderful defensive mid.
Yeah. No, he's a striker. Boney's a striker. I promise you. You had a blank moment there. Look.
A black moment?
No, what? I said a blank moment. Jesus Christ. I don't condone racism here on the pod.
Tell that story. No, tell that story.
I won't. Not yet. We'll let Barry tell it. The thing I'm looking most forward to, and you alluded it with Boney, is... Okay, let me put my Manchester United hat on just 1 second. I'll be really quick. So disappointing. A, we haven't bought anybody. And when I say we, Manchester United. And then we haven't sold anybody. Me and Mark were talking, God, I wish we'd get rid of Anderson and Nani and bring in some other players. But without my Manchester United hat on, I think it's fantastic that this summer, those teams like Swansea, who did very well last season with Michu, have signed someone like Boney, who's already scored a ton of goals, did brilliantly in the Europa League qualification round. And then you even have teams like Southampton, very small team, who just escaped relegation last year, but they buy Victor Wanyama,
who was from Celtic, fantastic,
who was brilliant in the Champions League, who last in the January transfer window was linked to us, to Manchester United.
And they got him. I was so surprised. You know what? I think this is... this is the almost like the revolution, the purchasing revolution that's happening in football. And it happened with Benteke choosing to stay
at Aston Villa.
With Michu choosing to Michu was lost in Spain. He came here. He came to England. And he was untouchable.
That's crazy that he had scored, I think it was the third highest goal scorer in La Liga. What, 2 years ago, 13 goals, and Swansea bought him for like 2.5 million?
It's absurd. That kind of thing shouldn't happen. But, that's agents and marketing. That's really what that is. Swansea got him, and he stayed with him because he was linked with a lot of people, a big money move. And he said, you know what, I'm gonna stay and try and do something here.
Michael Laudrup said he was offered. I mean, I'm sure if he really wanted sent out... feelers, he could have gone to Real Madrid or could have been gone at Barcelona.
Absolutely.
I think it's great that these, I mean, outside the top six, five or six, these other teams in that next really big chunk are buying not only a lot of players, but real quality players like Victor Wanyama. Mm-hmm. And if people want to know, that's probably because this new TV deal has come in.
Yeah.
Over a billion. Yeah.
Right.
What's the channel in the US? Is it BeIN Sports?
BeIN Sports, yes.
That's going to have like... I tell you what.
That and NBC.
This is...
NBC Sports.
Side note, you guys in America are so, so, so lucky because more soccer games from the Premier League are broadcast in America than there are in England. Guaranteed fact. The most we get is probably 2 or 3, maximum 4.
Really?
A week. That we see. Now, we get a highlights package in the evening. They'll show like...
That's no good.
But here, you can see like all the games. Like ridiculous. The new TV deal. Now, if that's an extra 30, 40 million for each team in the Premier League. Well, look, if you're Manchester United, Arsenal, Man City, you know, the established big clubs, the big six. That's what? One player, including his salary? Well, if you're Swansea, that's... That's 3 or 4, 5 players.
Yeah.
And that's where the new money hasn't really affected the bigger teams, but the next core group, it's really helped them establish themselves.
Right.
In terms of predictions, by the way, the most exciting thing I'm looking forward to is the new signings. I love new signings.
Right.
I think Tottenham, we spoke about Bale and whether they'll use the money. I think they've already bought, not replacements for Bale, but they've strengthened their team knowing he was going to leave. That's what my belief with Paulinho.
It's wonderful signing.
We have to quickly mention, I know we're scattered all over the place, we have to quickly mention Clint Dempsey leaving Spurs.
Highest paid player in the MLS.
Clint Dempsey's getting paid more now for Seattle Sounders than David Beckham got paid at LA Galaxy.
Yes, and the last time we talked about him, it was right when the move was happening or reporting. The reason of it was questioned. Because going from Tottenham, challenging for a Champions League and playing at the very least in UEFA, coming to the MLS was a step down. But it was for family reasons, actually. So completely honorable. And the dude,
I mean, look, a year
the dude is a hot player.
A year ago, before he signed for Spurs, I would have had him in Manchester United's team. Mm-hmm. I thought he would have been a perfect player for Arsenal to sign. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you had Suarez and Clint Dempsey, that's a pretty formidable, you know, link up there. But we wish him well. Clint Dempsey playing the Seattle Sounders.
Eddie Johnson, great for the U.S. squad. Those two playing up front.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Great point. And in Seattle Sounders, I think they get the average attendance is above 35,000.
Sold out season from the beginning. Yeah. Even their women's team sold out their season.
They're definitely the model
for
MLS teams. I mean, they haven't done well this season, although now Dempsey's come in. Yeah. Might see a little surge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm happy to see Spurs with the Paulinhos of this world. And we'll see really how, obviously, Soldado, see how well they do. Mm-hmm. Man City with Fernandinho, Jesus Navas that me and you spoke about the other week. Negredo, Jovetic. I mean, it's exciting time for these teams. I mean, can't mention the Premier League next season without mentioning Jose's back.
Right.
Evan. Oh, I love him. I hate him. He's brilliant. And I'm sure we'll talk about Jose Mourinho a million and one times before the end of the season. Prediction time. I want your top. There's four. Top four in order. And then I want your three relegated teams. Mm.
Okay. Unfortunately, I think I'm going with at this point, without any new purchases coming in for us.
Yes, that's it. The transfer window is over.
That's the disclaimer.
Yes.
Chelsea, United, City, probably Tottenham.
I only laugh because I'm pretty sure 90% of the people have said Tottenham were going to beat Arsenal in the league. And it hasn't happened yet. If you're a Spurs fan, you must be going absolutely fucking crazy. And your three relegated teams?
Well, I think Cardiff.
They just broke their transfer record for the third time this summer.
You know, I don't know.
It's gonna be tough.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I think Cardiff will stay up. I mean, we have to say quickly, if people listening to this pod don't know, Swansea and Cardiff are both in Wales.
Yes.
But they play in the English league. I know. I'm from London. I still don't know really the difference between Britain, United Kingdom, you know, and all this tech, you know, I don't know. It's beyond me. But anyway, Cardiff and Swansea play in the Premier League, play obviously in the English leagues in the Premier League. There's also a Welsh Premier League that no one really watches. I don't think I've ever seen a game from there. But it's good to see two Welsh teams, and that's an interesting derby to see. I mean, when you have Swansea against Cardiff, who got promoted this year? It was Cardiff, Crystal Palace,
right?
And Steve Bruce's team, isn't it? Hull came up.
Yes, actually. It's unfortunate. Coming back to United, Wilfred Zaha was such a strong influence in Crystal Palace. And I tell you what, watching him today, watching him in the preseason matches, the kid is hot. I mean, there was a big question about if he'd be able to make the jump from the Championship to the Premier League. The kid is good. He just needs a little bit of time, but his skill is wonderful.
He was just called up to the England squad.
Yes,
I believe with Rooney and Lambert, well, right?
Yeah.
Now it finally got the call up at Southampton. I'm trying to think my predictions. If people remember on the pod, I said Manchester United would finish third or lower for the first. Which if they finish outside the top three, it will be the first time in Premier League history. I agree with you. I said it last year though. Chelsea will win the league, in my opinion, for reasons obvious: Hazard, Oscar, Mata,
Mourinho,
possibly Rooney, Mourinho.
No. We said the transfer window's closed.
They'll still win the league. I think second will be Manchester City. I just think Pellegrini is, you know, all the pressure is on Mourinho. Mourinho's going to have the spotlight on him at Chelsea. And Manchester United, everyone wants to see how David Moyes is going to, you know, Ferguson's gone, how Moyes is going to step in. And I feel like this summer, Manchester City have been quietly coming along. And I think they've got a really good chance of winning it. I think they'll probably come second. Manchester United will come third. Spurs fourth. Yeah, and then Arsenal in fifth.
Okay.
I hope Newcastle do well because I do. I mean, I mentioned.
Well, they're looking at their center mid, Yohan Gabay, moving to France.
Yeah, it could happen. In terms of relegated teams. Oh, God, I really hope Stoke get relegated. I'm sorry, Stoke fans, if you're listening. I think Mark Hughes is I would never appoint him because he just spends money. His agent is Kia Jarabson, the agent of Carlos Tevez. He's a bit of a dodgy guy. Anyway, legal issues. Probably can't mention it. You never know. I hope Stoke get relegated. Plus, they play God boring football. Oh, I hate this long pool bullshit that they do. Let's give it to Peter Crouch, a.k.a. the most. God, he's so shit. He's so shit. Oh, Peter Crouch, honestly, he should be playing like the comp,
okay,
like fifth
this
division.
Is after show stuff, okay,
this
dude.
We can count any after show stuff. We can.
Okay, you got to give him a chance. You got to give him just a chance. I know that QPR, their wage bill was, ooh, Lord.
Oh, you're talking about Mark Hughes giving him
yes.
Well, look, great player for Chelsea. Fantastic for Manchester United. Played for Barcelona, if people don't know. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, Manchester United, Ferguson sold him to Barca, and he had one season at Barca, then came back to Manchester United. I do like him as a guy, and obviously a fantastic player. I hope Stoke get relegated. But they brought him in to replace Tony Pulis to get rid of that long ball.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what he does.
What he does.
And they've been linked with, I know, in this predictions, we're outside the transfer, outside the transfer window. Be interesting if they were to get Defoe to see.
Yeah, $6 million. £6 million.
But, you know, I don't think Stoke will do anything. I hope they get relegated. I think you make a great point about Crystal Palace. Zaha was really that influence.
Yeah.
I mean, see, if people don't know the league below the Premier League, the Championship, you have people like Kevin Phillips who scored 32 goals for Sunderland in the Premier League when he was like 28, 26 or something. Mm-hmm. He's at Crystal Palace now. He's like 35 plus. He can get away with being pretty good in the Championship. He scored the winning goal in the playoff final. Mm-hmm. But then you come to the Premier League, and the one thing you need to succeed in the Premier League above everything else is pace. If you're quick, that can really hide your other flaws in your game. Well, when you're 35, you're not going to be very quick, are you? So I feel for Crystal Palace because they've lost Zaha, that young influence. I love Ian Holloway, their coach, because he's good copy, and he's a bit like Mourinho. Mm. If people have to check up Ian Holloway on YouTube.
Ian Holloway, Mick McCarthy. Yeah, the same kind of vocalist.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's some quote where Ian Holloway, he gets asked about, he was Blackpool manager at the time, and they won, and it was a scrappy game. It was very ugly. And he was asked about it, and he says, sometimes, you know, as a guy, you go out at night, and you're trying to pull a woman, you're trying to pull a girl, you're trying to get laid, you know. And sometimes, you know, you go out and you pull a not so pretty lady, but at the end of the day, you still pull, and you still get laid. He's like, so today's game was the equivalent of going out and pulling, you know, an average bird is what he said, an average lady. Like, what the fuck? But you have to check him out because he does like all these rants. He's like, he can't hold himself back. He's brilliant. But I feel for Crystal Palace. I hope Stoke go. One more to go down.
Does Hull have it?
Hull will be out. I think Hull might be in trouble. Yeah. I honestly think Cardiff will stay up. I think they'll stay up. Be interesting. I'm not saying they'll get relegated, but be interesting how Everton do now that Roberto Martinez is in charge and Moyes had been the third longest serving Premier League manager. So,
well, I was listening to maybe yesterday one of the broadcasts, and they were talking about how Everton's style was going to change how Wigan played.
Wigan were brilliant players, even though they got
relegated.
Yes,
and unfortunately they had to get rid of a lot of their talent, but the style that they played and Martinez bringing that style of play and incorporating it into Everton. And you know, with Morelos in the center...
if they keep Flamini?
Yeah.
They'll be okay.
Flamini?
How do you pronounce his name?
Flamini.
I get him.
Fellaini.
Marianne Flamini. Yeah, I always get him mixed up.
I'm going to start calling you Jokinier. Jokinier.
Should I tell you why that particular name is really difficult for me to pronounce?
Because you're...
Pronunciate. No, because do you remember Matthew Flamini?
Yes.
That used to play for Arsenal.
AC Milan.
Although, yeah.
He was trying to come back.
Yeah, right. He was probably the first of Wenger's sons to fuck off to somewhere else and quit Arsenal. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, only because if people don't know, if they haven't been long listeners or long watchers of football, professional soccer, especially the English Premier League, when David Moyes took over Everton, they were always the team that finished just above the relegation zone. Always. And that's testament to how great a job he'd done, that he got them that
absolutely.
High. So it'll be interesting to see if they go back. I don't think they will. Especially with
well, Martinez brings a wonderful style of play. Very watchable. And the way Belgium plays and having Fellaini in there.
With Morelos, yeah.
Yes. It'll be interesting, at least.
Be interesting. To end the pod, Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, all in the Champions League this year. We talked about, obviously, Bayern and Dortmund. You reckon semi-finals? I reckon Bayern semi-finals, Dortmund quarter-finals for me. Four Premier League clubs. How far did they get in the Champions League this year?
I can't see Arsenal going very far. Chelsea... At least the quarters. If we don't get the same referee that we got.
Referencing the Nani red card that never was. Shouldn't have been.
Yes. The very enthusiastic red card. At least the quarters. I'd like to say... semis, but
okay. Manchester City, are they finally third season in the Champions League? Are they finally going to get out of their group? Obviously, last year they had the group of death with Ajax, Dortmund, Real Madrid.
I don't think so. But they didn't score. They didn't do anything. They were tough. So you know what? Maybe the excitement of a new manager, new players, that are from a different league, but. I think quarters at best for City.
Quarters at the very best, yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I'm always a pessimistic when I come to my team. Manchester United, okay, get out their group.
Yes.
Hopefully it's not one of those seasons like 2 years ago where we go to the UEFA Cup or the Europa League.
And get knocked out.
Yeah. By Athletic Bilbao at the time. Oh, brilliant they were. Yes. Llorente at Juventus.
Yep.
This season should be good with Tevez.
No, they're thinking about he's been dropped for the first match.
Oh, Llorente.
Because Llorente, he showed up unfit. Had private session, 30-minute private session.
Oh,
they're
shit.
Not very happy with him. They might toss him. They're going with Tevez and
Kvaratskhelia, I guess.
No, Marco.
Okay, Kinnear. Let's go. You're telling me I pronounce names wrong.
I'm trying to remember what the player, who the player is.
I thought you were trying to get his pronunciation right.
No. I was about to say Vidic. I was like, wait, no, he's Russ. It's a V word. Ends with itch.
I think Man U best at quarterfinals. Oh, like I say, I don't think Man U will do anything this year, especially if they don't sign anybody, which they won't now that they haven't got Fabregas. City, I say quarters. I think they'll make it.
Really?
Their group. I think Pellegrini will do a great job. Being there, obviously, with Malaga and Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. Malaga were in financial turmoil.
Yeah.
And got them to the quarters. So I think they'll make the quarters. Chelsea, semis. Arsenal, depending on their group.
Well, do they have Besiktas or Galatasaray?
Oh, and they're qualifying. They have Fenerbahce.
Oh, okay.
Which they obviously the other Turkish team, which is funny because Fenerbahce supposedly originally weren't allowed in the Champions League this year, but the court order for match fixing got overturned. If Arsenal make it into the group stage, Fenerbahce are a decent team. Then maybe quarters, but we will see. I doubt it. I don't think Arsenal are going to sign anyone.
Well, it's not like they're not used to not getting there.
Yeah. Oh, it's a poor season for Arsenal if me and Mark are right. For on the ball.
It's a poor season for us.
For us?
Yes.
As Man United
fans? You and I are right. Please prove me wrong. Sell Anderson or make the guy lose about 12 pounds. Holy crap, he looked chubby. He looked like he just spent 3 weeks drinking beer.
I'm sure he did. On the Brazilian Copacabana beach. For me, Jake Fields. Thank you, Mark, for being on the show.
Loved it. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Producer Gio, as always. Thank you so much. Remember, the Londoner on Greenville Avenue. Good beer, good food, great service. If Barry's here, say hi to Baz.
The Liverpool fan.
The Liverpool, no. I think it's Chelsea, right? Chelsea fan.
Oh, that's right.
Chelsea fan. If you see Jay, our beautiful barmaid, say hi. Say you listen to the show. At On The Ball Show, go to our Facebook page, On The Ball Soccer Podcast. Remember, fantasy.premierleague.com. Create your team. See if you can beat me, Gio, Mark, Brad, West, and Kevin. You're not going to beat me. I'm going to win. I didn't do that well last year, to be honest. I have to be honest. And it's tough if we do it now because we did this prediction thing without the without the transfer window ending. And I don't know. We'll see.
Well, we got next week. And by the way, I just want to throw this out. Next week,
yes,
we will have a guest on, man by the name of Zequinho, played with Brazil.
And with, what's the greatest player of all time? What's his name?
Maradona.
Maradona? No. Maradona. Pelé?
Pelé.
Yes.
Yes. So he will be guesting on here, and fantastic player. Came to the States, played with Dallas and Tampa Bay, and just wonderful, wonderful man, wonderful player, and real excited about it next week.
Yeah, great plug. If anyone wants any questions, obviously, even if you don't know the man himself or the player himself, you have any questions for, look, a former Brazilian international, played with The greatest player of all time.
Yes. At the greatest combined squad. Yeah. At the time.
At the time. So. Send in your questions, whether it's something about the era that he played in, or it's something about Brazilian players today, what he thinks about.
And he does. Players. I've talked. He's got some thoughts on Brazil now, and really interesting stuff about the World Cup. Yeah. So tune in.
Tune in. Send your questions. Remember, On the Ball Soccer Podcast, the Facebook page, or at the On the Ball Show, and we'll send his question. We'll ask him your questions. Thank you again, and we will see you next week. We're on the ball.
Is this their moment?
Ball back there.